Okay, that's an important point, Leah. Good. Okay, let's go. We are learning the Gemara Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Gemara basically is dealing with the fact that the non-Jews did not keep the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them that they no longer will get reward for the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So the Gemara then asks, "Velo, they don't get reward." Vatanya hayvemei omer minayin afil akom vaosik b'torah shehu kekoyin gadol tamlo mashiyasa asam ha'odom v'chay bohem kohanim levim v'yisraelim lo ne'emar ela ha'odom halamadza that a goy who is osik b'torah is considered like a kohen gadol, right? So the Gemara's question is that what do you mean if non-Jews are osik b'torah? And Tosis comments that osik b'torah doesn't mean that they study all of Torah, because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Chagiga that and in Maseches Sanhedrin that a guy who's Osek B'Torah is technically Chayiv Misa. Rather, it means that if they're Osek B'Torah in the sense of their Sheva Mitzvos, such a guy has a status of a Kohen Gadol. So what are you telling me, that they only get Tzchar, like that they don't get reward? Ella lo melech Hashem kamen halom tzchar ki mitzuv v'ose akimish einu mitzuv v'ose dam Reb Chanina gadol mitzuv v'ose mimi she'enu mitzuv v'ose. So let's just pause over here and make a few points. First of all, Tosis over here raises a question that we ordinarily say that goyim are not matami ba'ohel, because adam kiyumus ba'ohel, only Jews are called adam, and goyim are not called adam, right? That's Tosis's question. How come you're telling me that ha'adam sounds like all humans, even goyim, when the fact is that only Jews are called adam? So Tosis quotes Rabbeinu Tam that there's a distinction between adam and ha'adam. Can anyone explain this? Nice. There's an extra hey. So what's the difference between adam and ha'adam? So I don't know the answer. Hi, Talia.
I mean, it didn't really fit with the rest of the examples. Because, I mean, when we were confused looking at this, because here, like, Rabbi Tom says that Ha'adam refers to, like, the way I viewed it was like Ha'adam or Rishon, and then that. Like,
Ha'adam refers to non-Jews, and right. Adam refers to.
So the way I thought it was that, like, Ha'adam is meant like Ha'adam or Rishon, which refers to all humanity, versus Adam, which is just like a term meant to describe people.
So that would kind of be a little backwards. Okay, so that's the problem.
The rest of examples don't fit that pattern. Because, like, really long time to forget. Because,
right, so the rest of the examples are kind of like side points, right?
But there it's all using Adam to refer Dafka to non-Jews, as opposed to Ha'adam.
Right, so Rabbeinu Tam's point that Ha'adam refers to non-Jews requires some explanation. So Rav Soloveitchik had the following explanation. It's found in the book Mipnine Herb, which is written by Rav Soloveitchik. No, which is Rav Schechter has like these three books about Rav Soloveitchik: Nefesh Harav, Mipnine Harav, and Divrei Harav. So in Mipnine Harav on page 62, the Rav basically said that Jews tend to focus on the importance of every individual. Non-Jews focus only on the greatest people around. So the Rav said that Ha'adam, right, means a non-Jew, because the non-Jews are only interested in the greatest of the great, you know, like the highest of the high, the deepest of the deep, whatever it is. But for Jews, every person matters. That's the way the Rav said it. Again, I don't know if it's Pashat Pshat. I don't think it's Pashat Pshat. I think it's sort of a drasha. The Pashat Pshat in Tosis is probably just like a very technical, terminological thing, that the extra hey tells us that it's different, but fundamentally, I don't know if there's any real reason, but Lamaisa, what the Rav is saying, I think adds a certain depth to this Gemara. So far, so good? Let's go on. The Gemara tells us that Gadol HaMitzuveh V'Oseh Mimi She'eino Mitzuveh V'Oseh. This is probably like the most famous piece of Talmud ever, at least ever. And what does this Gemara mean? Why is it that Gadol Mitzuveh V'Oseh Mimi She'eino Mitzuveh V'Oseh? So Tosfos tells us that the reason is why.
Because he's always worried. He's always like worried about it.
Right. You're always worried, but the way Tosa says is interesting. You're always worried, Levato Yitzro, Ulakaye Mitzvah Sporo. No? You get the impression from Tosfos that a Yetzer Hara only exists on things that you have to do. Things that you don't have to do, the Yetzer Hara doesn't exist for. For example, I don't know if any of you were like me, but I remember before my bar mitzvah, at some point I just decided I would fast, and it was kind of easy, no? And then suddenly, after you have to do it, it becomes much more difficult. Does that resonate with anyone? Right? That's like real life. So Tosis is saying that you're worried, Levatel Yitzro, the Yetzer Hara is what makes Gadol HaMitzvah Va'oseh, in the sense of the mitzvah that I do when I'm obligated is a greater mitzvah because I have to overcome this Yetzer Hara. That's Tosis's approach. Now, the Sefer HaMakna, or the Sefer HaMikna in Kedusha Nan Lamed Aleph, in the parallel Gemara, the Sefer Mikna adds something that he understands that for this reason, the Gemara in Yevamis gives a mitzvah of Asu Mishmeres Mishmerati, a mitzvah to create Siyagim Midrabanan. Because Zuck the Sefer HaMakna, what he's saying is that when you have a Siyag Dirabanan, you don't have the same level of Yetzahara on it. You have a Yetzahara on the original thing, and that makes it harder to do the original thing, but you don't have a Yetzahara on the precautionary measure. And as such, because you don't have the Yetzahara on the precautionary measure, you'll end up being Mekayim, the Iker Mitzvah, better. No? And this might be Pshat in Rosh Hashanah's coming up, I don't know if you've noticed, but our practice is that we blow both Tekiyas Demiyushav and Tekiyas Demu'umad. And what exactly Tekiyas Demiyushav are and what exactly Tekiyas Demu'umad are is a Machlekes HaRishonim. Generally speaking, it's assumed that the Tekiyas Demiyushav are the 30 kolos that we blow before Musaf, and the Tekiyas Demu'umad are the Tekiyas that we blow during the Shemona Esrei, during Chazas HaShatz, however it is, whether you don't Nesach Ashkenaz or Nesach Sfarad. Now, the Gemara tells us that how come you blow both Tekiyas Demiyushav and Tekiyas Demu'umad? Zak the Gemara la'arbev ha-satan, no? To confuse Satan. And Satan comes across as being kind of stupid. Because, like, last year Satan was also confused by this ploy. So, what exactly is going on? Like, you'd think eventually the satan would catch on that, hey, you know, these guys, they're going to blow shofar more than necessary. So the pshat, however, according to the Sefer HaMakna, I think is very good. Because if we understand, like Chazal understand, that Satan and Yetzirah is the same thing. So the idea of La'arbev HaSatan means that Satan, Yetzirah, comes against what we're mechuyev to do. So those are the real tekiyas. And when I blow the tekiyas beforehand, so the satan, I'm making like, it's almost like a mishmeres l'mishmeres, that same idea, so the satan is already not going to get involved over there because that's not the real mitzvah. And then we were yotzei the mitzvah to that extent. Again, whether we're actually yotzei the mitzvah of tekiyos with the tekiyas before the Shemona Esrei or not, the pashtus is that we are yotzei tekiyos with the tekiyas before the Seder HaBrachos, which in many ways is a strange situation because then we're making the bracha on the tekiyos that's not the Iker Mitzvah, no? The real mitzvah is the tekiyos al Seder HaBrachos, right? How can we make the bracha beforehand? So it's probably something along the lines of what Tosis tells us in Psachim about, let's say, you learn Psachim, right? Let's say, you all learn Psachim? You all learn Davri Psachim at some point? Right? That's like in MMY, when the... What?
Yeah.
Here.
In Migdal
Oz. Okay.
June's
what?
June's man.
June's man. Okay, excellent. Rabbi Berman gave a shir during June's man, right? the president. Now, you have to connect everything. But Tosis in Psachim discusses a situation. The Gemara has a conversation about what happens if a person, Nebuch, lives in the community that the only vegetable that you have is romaine lettuce, and you're going to eat your romaine lettuce both for karpas and for murr. So when do you make the bracha, no? So we paskin that you make the bracha before you do the real mitzvah, which is a little bit strange, right? In other words, you can make the bracha al achilas murr at the time that's not the real mitzvah of murr. But that's exactly what we do at Tekiah Shofar each year, no? That we make the bracha, you know, it's not the mitzvah. And I think the idea, as understood by the Sefer HaMakneh, is that the Yetzer Hara won't be fighting against it because it's not the real mitzvah, and Mamela, we got our mitzvah anyway, and by the time it's time to do the real mitzvah, so the Yetzer Hara is going to kind of give up because we were already Yotze, the real mitzvah, in some ways.
Why you're not Yotze originally? You are Yotze.
What?
How could you not be Yotze initially?
I am Yotze originally. It's
okay, so.
But the point is that what I'm doing is I'm making a bracha on something that I'm not Yotze the mitzvah to the full extent. The better way to be Yotze the mitzvah. So that's a further question. It's probably not a hider mitzvah. It's probably some element of mitzvah bishleimusa, which is different than hider mitzvah. Reb Asher Weiss has a whole shiur that he gives about this topic. I don't know. It is a good question. How can you be Yotze the Hider Mitzvah after you were Yotze the Iker Mitzvah? Either Reb Chaim was wrong, but we're not allowed to say that in this yeshiva, or, yeah. Hi, Shani.
Hi. So is
the Sefer
HaMakneh agreeing with the Rashi?
He's saying a pshat in the Tosas. Correct. Now, the Tosas HaRosh has a different approach to Tosas. Tosas Rosh says that the reason why Gadol HaMetzuvah Va'osa Mimisha Eina Metzuvah Va'osa, and the Ritva there in Kedushin Lamed Aleph also says this as one of his approaches. Gadol HaMetzuvah Va'osa, according to Tosas HaRosh, means that I get reward because Hashem said so. So if I'm Metzuvah Va'osa, in other words, it's not about Yetzer Hara and heebie-jeebie world and stuff like that. But the Tosas HaRosh, the reason is, it's mitzvah v'osa. Hashem said so. I get my schar because Hashem said so, and I do what Hashem wants. So of course that's better than doing something when it's ain't a mitzvah v'osa. In other words, what the Tosas HaRosh is assuming is that mitzvahs on their own are not meaningful. Mitzvahs are only meaningful because the Ribbono Shel Olam, because Hashem said that we should do these mitzvahs. No? Mitzvahs do not have their own value. Again, would you be able to conceive of a world without the Ribbono Shel Olam? These actions would not be significant. Now, the Tosas HaRosh is saying this about all sort of mitzvahs. And over here also, what would emerge is that Gadol Mitzvah also is just because a mitzvah is not meaningful on its own. It's only meaningful because Hashem said so. Hi.
I don't think it's not that they don't have any meaning on their own. It's that they have added meaning if they're, because like we're saying gadol, meaning that when you're ain mitzvah osa, you still get some schar.
So I get some schar, absolutely. But okay, I mean you're right, Liat. The real pshat is that the genuine schar, the complete schar, comes about because Hashem said so. So maybe the action is meaningful on its own, but it's not as meaningful as it would be. Okay, that's a better way to say it. Hi.
No, I agree, because I think that also the reason why God commands to do stuff is not also just because he wants it done, but also for our own good. So even if God doesn't command you, if you do it, I don't think that that's a bad thing. It's probably good.
Okay. In other words,
that's actually how we understand.
Usually the way they, but God commanded us to do mitzvos for our own good. God does not need the mitzvos.
Right, so
right? God would be perfectly fine without us doing anything. So the only reason why we get reward is Hashem wants to give us reward for doing these things. Okay, beseder. I think that approach is absolutely correct. Some people. No, I'm not going to say.
Meaning, like, if you don't read it like that, then how do you read, like, the first few lines of the Ritva that talks about the Lufum Tzara Agra?
The lines of
Lufum
Tzara Agra, that's what you
said? Yeah, meaning, like, it's in the Ritva at the beginning, first to talk about, like, the Lufum Tzara Agra, and then
there's
this conversation.
Yeah.
So if you don't interpret the fact that, like, the mitzvah itself is apparently valuable, and therefore, it's
great. Again, one could say that the mitzvah of the action itself is not valuable, it's only valuable that I'm doing Ritzon Hashem.
But then, why should it matter if Hashem commanded you?
Then why should it matter?
Hashem commanded you or
no? No, so it matters because when Hashem commanded me, I'm doing Ritzon Hashem. If Hashem didn't command me, I'm not doing Ritzon Hashem.
Meaning either way, it's Ritzon Hashem, just whether or not you have the command.
No, not necessarily. It's only Ritzon Hashem if I'm commanded.
Meaning something like the bit of Ritzon
Hashem. Now, the question then is, why is there any reward? What Liat was getting at is, how come there's any reward at all for an Eino Mitzvah V'Osa? If the only reward is because I'm doing Ritzon Hashem, So it, that only makes sense. Now, again, this the Ritva goes the next stage, though. The Ritva, I don't know if I assigned you to read this Ritva in Kedushin or not. I have no recollection of what I assigned. But the Ritva discusses... the Ritva discusses when do we say the rule of kolapotim in davar va'oseyu nikra hedyot, and do we and when do we say that if I do something that I'm putter from, I get reward like eino mitzuva va'osa? Right? I assume that all of you are going to hear shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Right? You're technically eino mitzuva va'osa. How come we don't say that you're potter min davar va'oseyu nikra hedyot? Right? If I sit in the sukkah when it's raining, I'm an idiot. Hedyot is a very nice word for idiot. Right? So what's the difference? So the Ritva asks that question, and it's not abundantly clear what the answer is, but what the answer the Ritva seems to be is that if this action is obligatory by some people at some time, and I decide to obligate myself, then I get reward. But if it's an action that's obligatory to no one at any time, or if it's an action that's obligatory to no one, I'll say it like that, so then I get no reward. So sitting in the sukkah when it's raining, I'm an idiot, because no one is mechuyev to sit in the sukkah when it's raining. But tekiyah shofar is obligatory in some people, right? Men have a chiyuv in tekiyah shofar. If a woman decides to buy into that chiyuv, right? So then we apply the rule of gadol mitzuva va'oseh mimisha eino mitzuva va'oseh. That's the approach that the Ritva takes. The Bir Halacha in Simin Tuf Reish Lamites, right? In the or Tuf Reish Mem, I forget. In the dinim of sitting in the sukkah when it's raining, the Bir Halacha quotes a different approach. She says that the reason why you're nikra hedyot is because you're in pain. You're mitzta'er. And you're an idiot for putting yourself in pain when you don't get, when you're not obligated to do so. That makes you an idiot. Right? That's the way the Bir Halacha says it. There's a few other approaches that different Rishonim have, but that all comes from this type, that all begins from this conversation of when I say gadol mitzuva va'osa, mimisha eino mitzuva va'osa. Now the fact that Ashkenazi women, right, all of you, make brachos on mitzvah seh shas mangra, I'm assuming that no one here is a Sephardi, making brachos on mitzvah seh shas mangra is coming from the approach that emerges that gadol mitzuva va'osa, mimisha eino mitzuva va'osa, that of course there is reward, and of course the action is meaningful, and you can make a bracha on the action also. If the action would be totally benign, so then you cannot make a bracha. There is in one of the dialogues of Plato, it's called Euthyphro. So Plato has the chakira as to whether things are good because the god said that they are good, or whether things are good on their own. Right? If the gods don't say that you have to do it, this is like one of the larger questions that impacts on the natural law conversation that we had last time we learned. So if you'd assume that the actions themselves have no meaning, then you could not make a bracha ki huzeh. It would be impossible to make a bracha. Tina, I'm getting a phone call from Dietza Berger. Should I answer? Okay, hi, Shani.
Hi. So, just out of curiosity then, where would a chumra fall on the scale of doing something you're not commanded, but it's still good? And
okay, excellent question. So, I think as follows. The word chumra is used in different ways by different people. One type of chumra is just some halacha I never heard of, everyone calls a chumra. Another type of chumra is something that is a genuine chumra. I assume that a genuine chumra is something that the majority of Rishonim assume one way, but there is a school of Rishonim who don't assume that way. And if I am being choshesh for the minority opinion in Rishonim, that's a chumra. Now, many chumras are sheval taaseh, so the issue of nikra hedyot doesn't really come into play. Right? If I don't carry in an eruv, I'm not an idiot, I'm just not carrying. Right, I'm only nikra hedyot potentially if I'm doing something, right, if it's commission rather than omission. So I think that a chumrah in the purest form is probably just a chashash to be yotzei a mitzvah. I want to get the ideal lulav. So the, second. I want to get the ideal mitzvah. I want to fulfill the mitzvah in the most optimal sort of way. That's really what a chumrah is. It's very hard, like, to have a conversation about chumrah. You can't have that conversation unless we define the terms ahead of time. Is that fair? Okay, let's go on. Now, the problem, the Rav Gustman was a dayan in Vilna when he was 19. He wrote a sefer called Kuntres HaShiurim on various mesechtes. The Kuntres HaShiurim on Kedushin, Simen Chaf, raises the issue, how come our Tosis does not say like the Tosis Harash? He says that presumably the Tosis Harash's pshat is a more simple pshat than our Tosfos, and why would our Tosfos just ignore the most simple pshat? And he leaves it as a kasha. He doesn't really answer it. Hanir lefian yisdaiti, that it's possible to read our Tosis carefully, that even though our Tosis is like a line and a half, I think our Tosis might actually be saying the Tosis Harash's pshat. Anyone wanna? How do you read this Tosis, Liat? Right. So, what did those last three words in Tosis mean? Olakayim mitzvasporo. Right. I think until now we were reading the Tosis just as saying that Godo Mitzuva Osa because of the Yetzer Hara. And we were kind of ignoring the last three words in the Tosis, no? But the last three words in Tosis are very significant because I think by saying L'Kayim Mitzvah Sporo, he's really saying the Tosis Harashas Pshat as well.
What? I think I saw those three words left out
in different in where? In the Tosis Rabbeinu Ochanan?
No, in regular Tosis.
What?
In regular Tosis.
The regular Tosos.
Yeah, like here. Those last three words. You're, not in my Gemara here.
No,
it's here. It's in my Gemara, but I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I was learning from a different Gemara home.
Okay.
And I think.
And you didn't have. That's interesting. Generally, all the printed Tosos have the same word. I would not be surprised. I didn't check all the editions of the Tosos here in Avodah Zarah. I would not be surprised if those three words were absent from some of the versions of Tosos. What?
I'll go home and check.
Yeah, I'd be curious. If that's the case, I think that would shed a lot of light. So the Gemara says, "Kach omrim ha'ovdei kocham lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shel olam, Yisrael, shekibluha, heichon kaimuha." How did the Jews, where were the Jews, mekayim the Torah? Right, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a tain on the goyim that not mekayim the Torah, so Hashem asks, well, did the Jews really keep the Torah? So Hashem says, no. I'm going to prove that the Jews were Mekayim the Torah. So they say, no, God, you can't testify. Klum yesh av shemeid al b'no, d'chsiv b'ni b'chori Yisrael. Hashem is related to the Jewish people, as it were, b'ni b'chori Yisrael. So God says, oh, let Shemayim and Aretz testify that they're Mekayim the Torah. So they say, no, Shemayim v'aretz is nogeya be'edus. Because it says, "Imlo brisi yomam v'layla chukos shamayim v'aretz lo samti." HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a condition with my separation. So if they mekayim the Torah, good. If not, the world will return to tohu v'avohu. I didn't even say anything, but you can ask.
It's kind of a technical question. If they're claiming that they never learned Torah, then how are they able to quote Pesukim?
It's a good question. So I would answer that the way this Gemara began is Lemisha Osakba, right? That there's a difference between just knowledge of Sukkim and actually, to use the Yiddish word, horoving, right? The term is being Osek in Torah. And yet, knowledge of Sukkim, additionally, You have to remember that Torah Shebiksav was probably given to all the Shivim Umos, right? And when we speak about what the non-Jews lack, that's a Torah Sheba'al Peh, that's not Torah Shebiksav. So the fact that they know Psukim, right? What's the expression go? Even Satan quotes scripture, right? But the point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the nations that, or excuse me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond, the Goyim respond to Hashem that the Shamayim and Oretz is Nogeya Ba'edos, because if we don't accept the Torah, so the world will go back to Tohu Vavohu. The Shem Yishmuel, the Sochet Sheva Rebbe, in his Shi'urim on Rosh Hashanah, notes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only saying that the world will go back to Tohu Vavohu. There was a stage before Tohu, no? Tohu is already after the Bria, right? So his answer is interesting, is that Torah is about Havdalah. Torah is about separating things, separating what's mutter, what's aser, what's kadosh, what's not kadosh, etc. And effectively, the idea of Torah is to move the world from tohu to the next stage. Right? The 6,000 years that the Gemara in Daf Tes describes the Olam Hazeh as being, the first 2,000, which is until 1948, is years of tohu. Right? Torah comes and Torah has the ability to separate. Right, tohu vavohu means that everything is mixed up together. It's all farmished. So this is just an act of separating. That's what he says it. Okay, good. Now, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is related to the Jewish people, B'nei B'chor Yisrael. Shamayim and Aretz can't testify because they are nogeya be'edusam. So the question is, what do you mean there, nogeya be'edusan? First of all, Tosis raises the question, but the very fact that the world is still around shows that they did keep the Torah, no? Tosis asks the question, like, this whole Gemara doesn't add up. So Tosis gives two answers. Answer one, I think, is saying is that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping the world in existence on its own. Right? That's the way the Maharam understands the first answer of Tosis. Od Yesh Lomar, that there is a difference between the original Kabbalah and the continuing fulfillment of the mitzvos. The fact that we accepted the Torah in Har Sinai, that original Kabbalah, that's why Shamayim Va'aretz exists. But the question is whether we continue to keep the Torah, and that's what this Gemara is addressing according to the second answer in Tosis. Okay, good. But here's the question. How can you say that Shemayim and Oretz is Nogeya Be'edusan when this week's parasha is Ha'azinu? Ha'azinu HaShemayim Ba'adaberu, V'sishma Oretz and Refi. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Shemayim and Oretz testify that what? That you keep Torah. Like, isn't that against this Gemara? Our Gemara says that Shemayim and Oretz are Nogeya Be'edus. Does anyone want to try to answer this question? By the way, what does Nogeya Be'edus mean?
They have a stake.
They have something to gain. Right? Nogeya Be'edus could be that I gain financially. It could be that I gain whatever I could gain makes me Nogeya Be'edus. But L'cha'orah, the Pasuk says that they are testifying. Hi, Tehila.
Isn't that what Rashi says in Pasuk Berurah?
What?
The reason why we're choosing Shemayim Ba'aretz to be united is because they're Hinkayim and Lolam, and therefore, like, are good agent, per se. Our existence are forever.
So say it again.
Rahyan, Nogeya Be'edus.
Rahyan, beginning of Hazinu?
Yeah. Talks about how they're Kayim and Lolam, right?
They're Kayim and Lolam, yeah.
Right? And that's why they're good agent, because they're Kayim. Not
but isn't that against this? Because Argamar, they want to be Kayamim La'olam. They have something to gain. If I'm Shamayim, I want to remain existing, in existence.
But doesn't Rashi make it sound like it's not one's not contingent on the other? Like, I know that...
And that's what you're arguing, is that if anything, Shamayim Ba'aretz might be better Edom because they're always around. Usually if I'm an Eid, I might die. Shamayim Ba'aretz will always be there. Right? That's what Rashi says at the beginning. But the fact that they are Nogeya Be'edus, we still have to deal with.
I mean, if they're in existence forever, then we're not saying that, right?
But they're only going to be existing forever. Im lo brisi yomam v'layla chukos shamayim v'aretz osamti. The shamayim and aretz only exist because there are a Jewish people who are keeping the Torah. That's what the Gemara is saying based on the Pesukim. If we would not keep the Torah, shamayim v'aretz would cease to exist. That means that they're no geya b'dava. They're no geya b'yedusam.
But it's not the fault, like if God chooses them as witnesses, they have to be witnesses. Rather, they have
stated
it or not.
But they're still no geya. If I'm a no geya be'edus, it doesn't matter if it's my fault or not my fault. I'm no geya. So some of the Mefarshim say, Reb Shlomo Kluger has a Sefer Avodah Zarah called the Avodah Avodah. He says that we only see that Shemayim V'aretz is a good aid lahara. They are not good aidim lahatim. In other words, Hazinu Hashemayim V'aretz Beira, if we, right, V'sishma Aretz Imrefi, we're no geya be'edos that they are going to continue to exist. That's lahatim. On the lahara side, they are not. Now, I'm not exactly sure how to understand this because ostensibly it's two sides of the same coin. Right? Either the world will exist or won't exist. But his answer does touch on an important chakira that the Ktzos HaChoshen raises. What is the reason for the psol of Nogeya Be'edos? Is Nogeya Be'edos a formal type of psol? That because I stand to gain, so therefore the halacha views me like I am a puzzle aid, I become by definition a puzzle. Alternatively, Nogeya Be'edos might mean I become by definition a karov, I'm like a relative. Those two ideas are very similar. The third approach is that Nogeya Be'edos is simply a chashash mishanya. It's a concern that you might be lying. Right? The Ktzos quotes in the Tshuva of the Maharival, let's say I hire Edim, let's say you pay an aid to testify, are you a kosher aid min hatorah, just pasul midrabanan, or are you pasul even min hatorah? Nogeya is a pasul midrabanan. If Nogeya is a chashash mishaker, so presumably Sachar Edim Lahaid is also just a chashash mishaker, it's only going to be Pasol Midrabanan. That's a discussion. I'm in the middle of like a very long Din Torah. So last week, in the middle of this Din Torah, so one of the lawyers came to testify. So I just begin with the lawyer by saying the importance of testifying in Bezin, something you realize if you lie in front of Bezin, it's like a very serious Aveira. And by the way, are you getting paid? So he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, are you being paid by your client for the time that you're here? If you're being paid, so then I can't take your testimony. No? Because if you're being paid for your time, right? That's... So the idea, I think, is that if it's a chashash mishaker, so it's only a chashash mishaker in the direction that you can benefit. But in the direction that you're not benefiting, there's no chashash mishaker. I'm not sure what to do with this. It's just a thought that I had when I was going over this Gemara. Fine. Now, the Gemara says that Kodesh Baruch Hu made a condition with Ma'aseh Bereishis that if the Jews accept the Torah, great. If not, the world would go back to Torah Ravohu. We quote from Psukim, Mishamayim Hishmata, Din, Eret Yar'el, Vishaketa, etc. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says, Mikem Yavov Ya'idu Behen B'Yisrael Shekhaim Us HaTorah Kula. Nimrod should testify about Avram, that Avram didn't serve Avodah Zarah. Lavan should testify about Yaakov, they didn't steal, etc. Now this Gemara is very funny. Presumably the question is, do the Jewish people en masse keep the Torah? We will get to real Gemara pretty soon, by the way. It's just I got it, but it's still fun. Presumably the issue in the Gemara is that the Jewish people en masse keep Torah. So I'm testifying that there are certain people among the Jews who kept Torah. Whoopee-doo. Who cares? Right? So Avram Avinu kept Torah. Yashkoyach. Grace Adam. Okay? It doesn't matter. Why is this Gemara... So apparently what this Gemara is getting at is that the Bereishis, at least according to one opinion in Rashi, is Bishvil HaTzadikim. And you see, like Tosis pointed out, there are two dimensions. One dimension is Kabbalah HaTorah. The entire Jewish people had to accept the Torah. But all you need is a tzaddik who will keep the Torah to keep the world going. As long as you have one tzaddik sitting there, one tzaddik is sitting there. Do they use what tzaddik is a tzaddikah now? Right? But as What?
Tzaddikah.
Okay. Well, so you have one tzaddikah who is sitting and keeping the Torah, so that will keep the world going. But all of Klal Yisrael had to accept it. Again?
Even if she's not chayev?
That's interesting. Fine. All these things, by the way, Avodah Zarah and Gezel, women are also obligated in these things. Just word to the wise. Arayos, say, all these things. Fine. Yavo Nebuchadnezzar, v'yoy b'chananya mishal v'azariah shalo hishtachav l'tzelem. Nebuchadnezzar should come and testify by Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They didn't bow down to the Tzelem. Okay, now, here's the story. What was this Tzelem of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? What was going on over here? So what does Tosfos say? What? An Andarta. What's an Andarta?
A monument,
right? It's a modern Hebrew word also. Like that thing for 9/11 is an Andarta, right? There you have it. So it's a monument. And Zoktosis, it's not really Avodah Zarah. Because, first of all, Tosis points out the diuk in the Gemara that by Avram Avinu says they didn't do Avodah Zarah, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, just as a Tzelem. And the Gemara says that had they beaten Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah up, they would have bowed down. Chas v'shalom, right? How could they have bowed down to Avodah Zarah? Rather, Zoktosis, it's only an Andarta. So here's the problem. So how do you understand the psukim? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are willing to give up their life. If it's not Avodah Zarah, it's not Yehar Vayavar. If it's not Yehar Vayavar, how are they willing to give up their lives? Anyone bothered by this, Kasha? Good. Hi, Shani. I always begin my sentences to you with hi.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not necessarily bothered by it, but like, it makes sense that like they wouldn't bow down to it, even though it's like, it's not really Avodah Zarah, why would they do that? It makes sense that they would choose not.
But again, does it make sense?
They were
in
a position to, like, to take that upon themselves. Like, I thought it's like a thing. Like, if like a big rabbi, they tell him, eat pork or we'll kill you, and everyone's watching, he's supposed to...
But what's the halachic justification of that?
It's
Befarhesia. Yeah. So, if it's Befarhesia, it's really Yehoreg Vayavar, and then Tosvis wouldn't be making his point about... You're saying that what Tosvis really means is that it's really Befarhesia?
No, that's not what I was saying here.
You're saying
that we're not troubled by the question.
Oh, you're not troubled by the question because you think it's Befarhesia. That's what you're... Maybe. I don't see any evidence that's really Befarhesia. Yeah, but how many people are around? Are there? Does Farhesia mean that you need 10 Jews around? Right, that's a suffix.
It doesn't matter. There are like big figures.
So the big figures answer, I think, is correct, at least according to some Rishonim. That's what the Numukei Yosef says. But I don't think that's what Tosis means. I think what Tosis means, right? Tosis at the end says, if it was Avodah Zarah, they should have been Moser Nefesh on Kiddush Hashem. So if you turn to the Tosis on Chav Zayin on the base, Tosis has a Shita, the end of this Tosis Yochol on Chav Zayin on the base. The Gemara is discussing about whether Avodah Zarah is Yehari Vayavar Betzina also. So Tosis, two lines from the end of the Tosis Yochol, towards the end of the line, the imratza lahachmer atzmo afil b'sha'ar mitzvus rashoi kumo reb aber bar zimra dirushalmi shaya etzol v'kochav emalei achon nevela v'lo katon alach amalei yibas lemikdo kito machmer hoya demistome b'tzina hoya. Tosis says that there's this fellow reb aber bar zimra, and they say either you eat treif meat or we'll kill you, and he said if you want to kill me you can kill me. Why did he do this? Tosis says because he was machmer. Ashkenazi Rishonim lived in a culture of Kiddush Hashem. Ashkenazi Rishonim lived in a world that they are refusing to give up their lives, even in situations that it might not have technically been a real full-fledged Isra of Avodah Zarah. Now, the Crusade Chronicles probably was full-fledged Avodah Zarah, but these cases are not full Avodah Zarah. And Zok Tosfos, that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are not worshipping Avodah Zarah. And it was probably tzina, like Tosfos says over there also. But still, you could be machmir on yourself if you want to. That's Tosfos Shita. The Rambam, however, has a different approach. The Rambam says that in a situation where it's not Yeharig Va'al Yavar, and you decide to kill yourself, you are committing suicide. Suicide is painless as the theme song of Me'ash, but it's not a Jewish concept. Yeah?
My rabbi told us, I didn't read that Rambam, but he said it like says, I mean, maybe he made an offense that's implying, maybe Rambam actually said, that people that like enlist in the army who are not like forced to, it's suicide.
Mitzchayev v'nafsho. That's the way the Rambam says it. Okay? In other words, if I decide to give up my life when I don't have to, I am mischayev v'nafsho. That is committing suicide.
Saying, like, if you are a lone soldier in Israel, you're technically...
So I think that's a terrible thing to say.
To
I think that's a terrible thing to say. Again, we have a mitzvah to defend the Jewish state. We have a mitzvah to defend Klal Yisrael.
For some people, it's an obligation.
Why is it
by law?
It's an obligation for everybody.
No,
if you're
saying, like, by law, he has one. Oh, well, in Israel has no choice. One in America has a choice to enlist or not.
Please don't do this to me. Please. I that's not right. That's just not right.
That's kind of what the Rambam is saying.
What?
Is that not what the Rambam is saying?
The Rambam says in a situation when a person, when a non-Jew comes over to you and says, do you want to violate an Aveira? The non-Jew says, I give you a choice. I'll kill you or you eat treif. So the Rambam says that if you decide to be killed, you are committing suicide. Right? There's like an expression, suicide by police. No? You're... killing suicide without doing it directly. Azoy Shteyten Rambam. Now, however, the Nemuke Yosef, on that's quoted by the Kesef Mishnah on that Rambam, you saw this?
Yeah.
Right? So Nemuke Yosef has a says, but if you're a Gadol Hadar, it's permitted. And what that probably means is as follows. You have to remember that the issue that we're talking about is not about the Averos themselves, but it's about Kiddush Hashem and Chol Hashem. And if you're Hananya Mishael Nazariah, you are known leaders. You are some Kohen Gadol at the time of the Chashmul Na'im. You are a known leader. So when they offer you to eat treif, what they are doing is they are saying, you know what, we are going to undermine Judaism. And we are going, so in that case, the Rambam, even the Rambam would say, you're allowed to give up your life. Because the Nemuke Yosef is saying the Pshat, the Kesef Mishnah is quoting that Nemuke Yosef within the Rambam. So the defense of Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah might have been even, I think Tosfos' diyukim, that the Tselem was not a full-fledged Avodah Zarah is a good diyuk. But even so, the Rambam, even the Rambam would say you're allowed to give up your life, you're allowed to give up your life for that reason. Good? Let's go on in the Gemara. Daniel was not Mevatel Tefillah. Right? You notice that Tefillah, unlike all the others, Tefillah is a mitzvah asay. Everything else is a lav. Right? Why? Right? The last one is that the Mekayim Kalat HaRekula, etc. Yitnu Eidehem V'Yitztaku. Fine. I don't know the answer to that. Why Tefillah is only mitzvah asay? That's thrown in, but it is. So then the non-Jews tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, right, give us the Torah and we'll do it. So God said, Sholtim Shaba Olam, Misha Tarach Be'er Shabbos, Yocha B'Shabbos, Misha Lo Tarach Be'er Shabbos, Mehichan Yocha B'Shabbos. Right? How can you, it's too late, right? We're at the end of days, it's too late already. But, Afal Pikein, I have a mitzvah kala called Sukkah. Go and do Sukkah. Go and do Sukkah. Now, why is Sukkah called a mitzvah kala? Right? Well, first the Gemara says, what do you mean? How could they do a mitzvah? It's the end of days already. Rather, it's only Shana Kadosh Baruch Hu Babitrunya Embryosav. God doesn't have tainus on people. God doesn't want any people to have tainus on him, I should say. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a mitzvah even though it's La'asad level. Why is Sukkah called a mitzvah kala? Because there's no chisaron kiss in Sukkah. Let's pause and talk about this for a minute. What does it mean that there's no chisaron kiss in Sukkah? Some of these fiberglass things are quite expensive.
Could just go chop down
the tree. So it probably means, and in fact, not only that you could, but the halacha of sukkah is ba'aspecha migarnecha umiyikvecha, that you take the psolas goren v'yekev to make a sukkah, which is the garbage, the leftover branches, etc. That's what your schach comes from. The ikar sukkah is just leftovers. So therefore, Therefore, sukkah is a mitzvah kala. Okay, very nice. Of all mitzvahs, why do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the non-Jews sukkah at the end of days? Of all mitzvahs, why does Hashem give sukkah? So we'll give three explanations for this. There's a fourth explanation which I don't understand. If you look in, you know, is this sefer popular among your chug? The Sifsei Chaim, Rabbi Friedlander? So Sifsei Chaim, it's on volume 1, page 317, has an explanation, but I totally didn't understand what he was talking about. If you could figure it out, please explain it to me. I just didn't know what he was doing. Fine. So we'll give you three other explanations. So one explanation is as follows. One explanation is that the mitzvah of sukkah is given because the mitzvah of sukkah is the only mitzvah that you do with your entire body. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to give them one mitzvah that's going to represent all the mitzvahs. Right? If I give a mitzvah of, I don't know, pick your mitzvah, right? You do that mitzvah with one aver, but sukkah you do with the entire body. What's the problem, Liat?
What about, like, mikvah?
So what about mikvah? So mikvah is probably not a mitzvah just to get out of tumah.
Right. Meaning it's like, okay.
So there is one.
Anything you can do with like the whole body, like run to shul?
Like so you run to shul, you run with your legs. But yeah. Your entire body is not involved in the running process. Your legs are involved in the running process.
And then you like bring your body to shul.
Okay, so.
Yishuv Eretz
Yisrael. So Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, right? You think like a Zionist. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is, right, they quote from I read that Rav Kook, that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a full body mitzvah. So I don't know that's the pshat. So some other people say a pshat. In this book, the Avodah Brura, it's like a nice digest, the source of Avodah Zarah. He says a pshat that's similar to this. He says that the mitzvah of sukkah is shekula keneged kol ha-mitzvahs. Okay. How many mitzvahs are shekula keneged kol ha-mitzvahs? Basically, everyone and their aunt. No, I mean, I don't know. The truth is, there's a sefer by Rav Volbi that I went to the library to look at today called Mitzvos HaShekulos. He has a sefer on all the mitzvos that are shekel keneged kol ha-mitzvos. And by the way, in that sefer, you know which mitzvah he doesn't have?
Sukkah.
Oh, excellent. Because sukkah is not shekel keneged kol ha-mitzvos. There's nowhere in Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Midrashim. That says that sukkah is equal keneged kol ha-mitzvos. However, if any of you are really bored and you say the piyut for the second day of sukkahs, you will see one line in the piyut where it says that the mitzvah sukkah is equal to all mitzvahs. Okay, all right, piyut. Fine. So this explanation I'm not so satisfied with, but we're trying. Other possible explanations why sukkah. So it could be.
I have a thought.
Thoughts are good.
That like sukkah signifies like God letting you into His house, so this is like one your only chance to like join with God.
That's nice. In other words, that the mitzvah sukkah is yachbin utzoyano tachas kante hashchina. The idea, right, many of the mafreshim point out that what we see in the Ilah, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring us under the wings of the Shekhinah, it refers to the sukkah sila ben manusa.
This
is like Kadosh Baruch Hu is like bringing them in. The problem is that that concept would seem to be more about the reward for the mitzvah rather than the asiyas ha-mitzvah.
Right. But it's the act of, joining Judaism.
So maybe that's another explanation, that it's somehow sukkah symbolic of joining Judaism. But the Michtam Eliyahu has a line where he says, I was looking for it today. I'm pretty sure it's on volume 1, like page 290-something. But I was like flipping around today, and I didn't find the exact line, but I just have it in my notes. So you'll trust me on this one. The Mishnah Eliyahu has a line where he says that the sukkah is an interesting idea, because sukkah represents in Chazal a concept of golus. I move out of my home, and I move into the sukkah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to the Goyim at the end of days, you know what? If you're really serious about accepting the mitzvahs, you're going to be willing to give up on all the comforts that you have, and you will enter this place of just a relationship with Hashem. That's similar to the idea that Shani was mentioning. It's just a relationship with Hashem, but it's a godless idea. It's peeling away all of the external, all of the physical benefits that we have. So maybe that's what it could be, the godless type of idea. It's okay. I don't particularly like it. The pshat that I like the best is that what's the haftorah of Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos?
You don't know math.
Huh?
You don't know math.
Okay, you're Yeshiva Bachrim. Right? Excellent. Right? So, Zechariah chapter 14.
Oh, it's like that
the
Ansukkot that all the nations will come.
Ansukkot, all the nations will come and what?
Oh, celebrate Sukkot.
They're going to have a massive war, and it's called the War of Gog and Magog. No? A massive war, and according to Chazal, that's going to be on Sukkot. Now, what is special about the War of Gog and Magog? Well, it's the Armageddon. It's the war to end all wars. It's as Saddam Hussein used to call it, the mother of all wars. Right? Whatever it is, that's Gog and Magog. Now, Chazal always speak about Sukkah as Ufros Aleinu Sukkah Shlomecha. Sukkah represents Shalom. During this time in the Muhammad of Gog and Magog, Klal Yisrael will be protected by a sukkah. Lo Asid Lavo, this is the end of days. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, I'm going to put a sukkah because sukkah represents Shalom, sukkah represents the war of Gog and Magog that you're going to be protected from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, Chevra, okay, Umos HaOlam, this is your opportunity to save yourselves, go into a sukkah. Right? So what happens in the Gemara? Does this trick work?
Nope.
Why not? Hashem makes it too hot. By the way, if, I don't know if you know, so the Gemara in Daf Beis that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu went around to all the nations and offered them the Torah, it doesn't say that they asked, what does it say in the Torah and Hashem told this nation, right? That thing that everyone told you in grade school, that like this nation said, was told it says not to steal, and say, oh, stealing is too important, that's not enough Avodah Zarah Daf Beis, right? That is in the Zohar, where the Zohar quotes this Gemara, the Zohar adds a little dimension. Somehow, in nursery school, or whatever, they told you the Kabbalistic version instead of the Talmudic version of the story. But, Ra'asit Lavo HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Chama Min Artika, this sun which has been covered, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it out, and it gets really, really hot, and the Umos HaOlam go, and they leave the Sukkah, and they kick it. And Hashem tells them, you know what, even though Mitztar is Pater Min HaSukkah, but you're not supposed to kick the Sukkah, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Simeon Tafresh Lamites, in Hilchos Sukkah, that if it's raining and you have to leave the Sukkah, you're supposed to leave sadly, you're not supposed to kick the Sukkah and be upset. That's how this Gemara is quoted in the Halacha. Great. So now, what can we prove in Halacha from this Gemara?
What?
A, you can't take your sukkah, right? That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. B, Mitztar is Pater Min HaSukkah. Even when what? If HaKadosh Baruch was taking, this is my deal, if you don't like it, that's fine, but HaKadosh Baruch was taking the sun out, does that mean it's only hot for the people in their Goyish HaSukkahs, or it's hot everywhere? Presumably it's hot everywhere. Hashem takes the Chama out of the cover, it's hot everywhere. Now, is there a din of mitzta'ir pater min hasukkah if I'm going to be mitzta'ir in my home also? Let's say, right, why not? That's your question. So I'll tell you, teshuk and tadiru. In other words, mitzta'ir means that I would not live in this situation. I would go into my home, right? So if I am in a situation that it's freezing cold no matter where I am, or it's boiling hot no matter where I am, presumably there is no halacha of mitzta'er pater min hasukkah. The halacha of mitzta'er is only a mitzta'er here, but I'll be okay there. Let me hear from Michal.
I was going to say, so presumably now in the age of air conditioning and heat, that would, like...
Yes, so we can void many of these issues, but again, one of the questions is, are you mechuyev to do that? My father remembers as a kid growing up in Montreal, sitting in the sukkah with like 3 feet of snow on top of the sukkah. Right? Are you mechuyev to do that? Right? Are you mechuyev to bring in the heater?
I just don't understand why it shouldn't matter that and your house is also hot. It's an uncomfortable situation, and therefore
Think about it, though. If I'm going to be mitzta'er anyway, right? So it's uncomfortable. So wouldn't I be better off being uncomfortable in a sukkah than being uncomfortable?
You'd be a chula in a sukkah or in your house, right? But a chula is inherently potter, so you're uncomfortable.
A chula is a different din than mitzta'er. Some of the Rishonim, Paskin, that there's no din of mitzdar patamina sukkah laila rishona. No, the first night of sukkahs, even if it's raining, right? Two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, but even if it's raining, you eat in the sukkah. What about a chola the first night of sukkah? Are you mechayev to go to the sukkah? Last year, one of the older men in YU, like in his 90s, came down to the sukkah the first night of Yantiv. Are you mechayev to do that?
Yeah.
I don't think so. And the Mishnah Berurah disagrees with you, Shani. I'm sorry. The Mishnah Berurah writes that that it could be that mitzdar is patur minasuk. So he quotes machlokes hachrolim, but the standard approach is that mitzdar is patur minasuk. It's a different tour than chola. But the reality is, the Aruch HaShulchan comments that there's a... Oh, I cut you off. You want to say something?
It's not such a good question.
Huh?
It's not such a good question.
Okay. So the Aruch HaShulchan comments that the halacha mitzta'er patur min hasukkah, it says in the Ramah, in Tafresh Mem Se'if Dalet, the Ramah writes, don't build your sukkah in a place where it's going to be very windy, etc. No? Because then you're setting up a mitzta'er situation. Zok the Aruch HaShulchan, in analyzing this Ramah, he tells us the Yisod, which I think is accepted by the majority of poskim, the Yisod that mitzta'er is patur min hasukkah only if I could be in the sukkah, if I would not be distressed if I stay at home. But if I'm going to be distressed in the month of Shach, so there's no din of mitzta'er. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. It seems to me that this Aruch HaShulchan is against the simple reading of our Gemara. I think the simple reading of our Gemara is that there would be a din of mitzta'er even in this case. Unless what the Gemara means is like lishi tasam. Maybe la halacha, there's no din of mitzta'er in this case. But even according to them, that they feel that they are mitzta'er, still they shouldn't be kicking the sukkah, etc. And then the Gemara says, "Ein chok b'nei Hakadosh Baruch Hu ela osa yom bofad." That's the only day Hakadosh Baruch Hu lies. Hi, Shani.
Hi. So based off like the hot inside and hot outside thing, it's better to sit and suck up. What if like it's raining outside, but you left your lights off in your dining room or in your house? Would you say it's better to be uncomfortable in the raining sukkah than uncomfortable in the dark house?
So again, it probably depends on the relative levels of discomfort that I'm in. If I'm at home and the lights are off, but there's probably some light in some other room and I can have some residual light, I'm probably going to be more comfortable than I'd be in the sukkah where all my food is getting ruined.
Yeah.
Right? Again, you'd have to balance it out. Chabadniks have this thing that they eat in the sukkah even when it's raining. No? So I remember one year in the YU sukkah, Shmini Atzeres at night, and it starts to pour. So Rav Shachter tells everybody we should go inside, so we eat in the calf. And there's like one Chabad guy like sitting out there in the sukkah and it's pouring and like the rain's coming down his house. So Shechter walks out and goes, you know, you're going to get sick. You should really go in. So he's like, but the Rebbe used to eat in the sukkah when it's raining. So Shechter's like, are you the Rebbe? So it didn't like go over so well. But I guess you had to be there. So that's the basic story. Again, I think the simple meaning of this Gemara is that the din of mitzta'er patur min hasukkah applies in the situation. The last ha'ara which I was supposed to make that I didn't make is it's interesting to note in the Gemara that all the nations of the world go and they build a sukkah b'rosh gago. They build it on top of the roof. Now, I don't know if they're living in Manhattan and the only place to build a sukkah is like on the rooftop. Why are they building up a Rosh Gadol? So some of the Mefarshim comment that the Umos HaOlam are not doing mitzvah sincerely. They're doing mitzvah as a way of showing off. If I want to do a mitzvah as a way of showing off, so I do the mitzvah in the most public way possible in order to basically show off. So,
wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
How is that different? I mean, obviously, whatever, but in terms of like
Pirsumei
Nisa.
Yeah, so Pirsumei Nisa, that's that specific mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. There's a mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa, right? We don't have Pirsumei Nisa by all mitzvahs. Yeah, by Neros Chanukah, by Dalakosis, Taisa says Psachim, but we don't have it by all mitzvahs.
Isn't that, I mean,
usually, when I do mitzvahs, I'm supposed to do the mitzvahs the way Hashem says it. End of conversation.
When, at least, like growing up, the classic thing you learn is like,
oh, but it's so great, all the cutting we'll see, like, it's getting chilly out, and you're still sitting in this hut, like, the fact that people can see that you're in Stoka is...
Interesting.
...is a big deal.
I mean, I don't know, I don't remember hearing it that way. If the goyim see that we do mitzvos on our own, and they feel like these people are sincere, that's wonderful. But to deliberately build a sukkah in the most public place to show off and to have like neon signs around it, this is our sukkah, that might be a little too show-offy.
Yeah, I feel like if we build a sukkah and it's like not comfortable weather, we say like, oh, we want the non-Jews to see, say like, oh, look how loyal they are. Like, if there are no non-Jews around, we still sit in the sukkah.
Right.
But like for these people.
I think so.
So
I think so. Okay, listen, I want to wish everyone Ksiv Achsima Tova, Gukke Beng Shtiar. Like, please use the time over Yontiv as much as possible to review the Gemara, to go weiter in the Gemara. And obviously, the Yontiv of Rosh Hashanah is a very important Yontiv in terms of Hamlachas HaKadosh Baruch. I feel bad that we didn't get to the Gemara Gimel Mitbeis that has a discussion about when the Shas Din is on Rosh Hashanah. Go on in the Gemara. Do Gimel Mebeis and do the Taisis. The Gemara is not so simple. Is the din Rosh Hashanah the first 3 hours, a little bit later in the day? Not abundantly simple. This is the sugya. Right over here, Daf Gimel Mebeis and Avodah Zarah, but Ol Chazon Lemoed. We'll continue Rosh Hashanah during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, and then we'll keep on learning even after all the Yomim Tovim. We hope.
Thank you.
Yeah.